Welcome to Clocker Counter. I'm Ryan Young, and with me is James Wiseman. So we are going to do a guessing game today. And I was thinking of several iterations, but we're going to go with the easiest guessing game just to get a baseline for future times we're going to do this. So how it works is I am going to describe a co-op between two people. One of them is going to be you, and you're going to have to guess who the other person is. And it's either going to be Daniel O'Neill or me. And you have to tell me who that someone is.
Okay, so you didn't prep me at all for this. But the idea is that based on the co-op you describe, I'm sort of thinking, who is the one to have been more likely to do this co-op?
Exactly.
And is it more like a routine co-op or more like a jam co-op or both?
More routine. Or it's like competition. Competition is a better way to put it.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to start with an easy one. Okay. So I'm going to be watching the video, so I'm going to have to like describe it because there's like too many for me to
these
remember.
These are real co-ops.
These are real co-ops that you can go and watch on YouTube.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one is you start by throwing counter overhand wrist flip into a vertical angle. The someone Larab's kicks, then you Larab's kick, and then the someone Larab's kicks one more time, and then you scarecrow it.
When you told me that I threw it counter at a vertical angle, I already knew it was Daniel O'Neill. And do I get bonus points for telling you what this is from? Like, it's
yeah,
not
I
even
saying there is a bonus if you can.
I thought these were going to be co-ops that I'm like subbing in for from other routines. Because if they're my own routines, I feel like I'll always know what they are. So this co-op first happened in 2011 in Prague Worlds, but it's probably best known for happening in 2018 at Frisbeer, but it was rejuvenated again in 2023 in Medellin, Colombia. But the best version of it, maybe it wasn't 2018. I'm going to lose points for getting the year wrong. It might have been, I think it was actually a COVID one. But in any case, Dan and I did it at a Frisbeer once where we hit it perfectly. And that's the one that ended in the scarecrow. And I did a little woogie woogie hand sign afterwards that got a lot of commentary because I'm usually kind of a robot in routines, which is not something I'm proud of, but it's just, sometimes I'm just a little bit too focused.
Yep. So it was 2019.
So you're
very close, but it was all the other details are correct.
Quick aside, because it's a podcast, let me do it. You know how other people, when they tell stories from the 70s and 80s, they always know the year, and I'm always astounded by that?
Yep.
I thought I would eventually develop that skill, but I really haven't, you know, unless it's a Worlds or something where I can just remember the place and then put it to the year. There's so many times I'm like, that could have been 2014 or 2020. And I really can't tell you. I don't know if that's something wrong with our generation or just a personal problem, but I'm just pointing that out.
Okay. All right. Next. The someone has two discs. They like do a quick throw to you with both discs at the same time. One is right side up, one is UD, and you tip both of them at the same time back downwind.
This is the easiest question in the world.
Well, starting easy. I'm not
going to. Okay. Oh, you're right. Sorry. That's 2023 co-op with you and Will. Like, I got that idea from a routine that Freddie Graf and I want to say Edo did in 2019. Was that the team in 2019 that did it, Ryan, if you remember?
I don't remember.
Definitely a Graf co-op team in 2019 had a right side up version of that where I think Freddie hit it back. So we just changed it to do one right side up and one upside down. Mm-hmm. And I watched Frisbeer 2025. What a crazy number to say this year. And I saw a couple teams do things like that, which got me excited. But we can't take credit for it because we stole it from Graf's team.
Okay. The third one, you throw counter overhand wrist flip and the someone takes it under the leg swoop, presension back to you. You under the leg pull it into a spinning chair.
Wait. Was there a procession in there? You said presension.
Presension.
What does that even mean?
It's like a figure four shoot.
Okay. So say it all again.
So you throw overhand wrist flip counter. Then someone takes it under the leg swoop into the presension. So the figure four shoot. You under leg pull it into a spinning chair.
Oh, man. Wow. First of all, can we talk about presension? Is that a term in ballet or something?
That's what Lisa calls it.
Really? Yeah. I've never heard that before. It's so rare that I hear a frizzy term I just haven't even heard it before. Also, does figure four need any more names? How many different ways are we going to call it? Figure four, grapevine. Wow. Okay. I'm guessing that's Me and You, but I have no idea.
Yeah, that's correct. It was from 2014.
Oh, AFO. Wow. Did we even have a routine then?
There was no routine. When I was watching that, I was like, wow, we are not good back then.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. There was one day where I was going back and watching some old routines because I can't really freestyle right now because of an injury. And I saw some of the 2014 stuff. And yeah, we were pretty bad. But yeah, that's another story, I guess.
Wow, I'm surprised you got that one. I was trying to find the counter co-op where I did the most stuff, and there was like no counter co-ops where I was doing anything. So
I could picture something like that with Daniel, and I was thinking that, but for some reason, it just sounded like something we did. What was more shocking to me is that the first two of three co-ops you suggested involved me throwing an overhand wrist flip, which is something I very, very rarely do. It's just kind of interesting, that unlikelihood of that.
Okay, number four. So the someone throws you clock, you take it flat, and then you do like a guided shoot back to the someone. They underleg pull straight into, I don't know what the name of it is, but you jump on their back and catch it with your feet.
This is Daniel. We call that the Transformer catch. We did it. There's a theme here. We did it in 2011, or at least we planned to do it in 2011, but I don't think we ever hit it in practice or otherwise. It was a very aspirational move, but we did it in our 2023 routine. I don't think we ended up going for it in the finals, but we did it successfully in Frisbee and maybe the semis, but I don't remember. But that's a move we got from something Teddy did, I think with Flash, but maybe Scott Saylor. But that's where we got that move from. It's a super cool move.
It is cool. It was the Frisbee semis that you caught it. Yeah.
That was a satisfying arc because I remember when we were working on it in 2011, we basically never hit it. And when we brought it back in 2023, 12 years later or whatever, it was so much easier to do. And there was other stuff we tried to bring back that was remarkably not easier to do, which isn't a good sign of progress, but that's the one that I felt like was better. And that Frisbee semis round is one of my favorite rounds I've ever had, and it's might as well never have happened. You know, it's just like a random round at a not random tournament, but like no one's ever gonna see it. It's actually, I think, the only routine that I like tracked down and just uploaded to YouTube so I wouldn't lose track of it, and it's got like 7 views on it or something. But I think it's one of the, I think it's the round that I played the best in.
Yeah, I think everyone has one of those, and yep, you just got, just for your own personal gratification.
Yeah, I gotta have it. It's honestly, it's like, it's my data hoarding that you were talking to me off mic about. Just, if I don't have it on YouTube somewhere, I'm just going to lose track of it and never see it again.
Okay, so moving on. All right, so this someone throws you clock. You take it straight into left invert flat into, it's like a left figure four pull. You like set it, you like do a half turn over onto an angle. Then the someone does like the rim shoot back to you, UD. You take it flat into a scarecrow.
Almost all of these, I know what they are by the first or second move. This is our 2018 pairs routine.
That's amazing. Like, if you told me this, I would not have remembered that at all.
Easy.
Like, I've never done that move in my life.
Easy.
That's funny, because like when I was thinking of this game, I was like, wait, there was like much harder versions where I just tell you what happens and you have to like tell me where it came from, which obviously you couldn't do. But I was like, there is no way you would remember these obscure co-ops that I'm going to find. But apparently you could.
I don't know. I guess I do. I remember like working on it. I don't know. Like I have like the mental model in my head of the spacing and where our bodies are supposed to be and how to make it happen. I don't know.
Okay. Maybe I should skip ahead to like the harder ones.
Go for it.
Okay. So this one, this is okay. We're going to the next example. You do a BTB throw directly into someone's running laser.
Oh boy. Oh, it's 2014 routine with Paul and Daniel, and we did it at Frisbee.
So wait, is that all one example? So you got some of the details right, but it's like, it's Daniel catching it. It's Frisbee 2023 from your semis round. You did it in like the in your memorable.
So maybe this is one that we recycled from, but I had a memory of doing that with Daniel and Paul back in the day, but that might be something we also did in 2023. I think if I am remembering correctly, we had a BTB throw like that in 2023, but it was supposed to be another catch or like another pull that just wasn't available. But that sounds right. I guess I'll take the loss on this one, though. I wasn't specific enough. But that one was, that's tricky because it's something that I might do a lot of times with a lot of variations. Like, it's so generic that it could happen more than in one specific instance, if that makes sense.
Yep, that makes sense. What the tricky part, or no, like the part about that one is I've never catch Lacer on the run. So it had to have been Daniel. Like, I was trying to find an example like that where like we caught Guidus, so like he wouldn't know. But
there was someone's Lacer at Frisbeer that I wanted to shout out. It might have been partially Marco Prati, but I think there was someone else whose Lacer I was really into. And I was thinking how I hardly ever do Lacer anymore because I think of it as kind of a lesser catch. But there's a way to do it that's so beautiful and super effective. And it's a very high utility catch. So I think I'm going to try to be bringing more Lacer into my game.
More Lace. It does look, it has the opportunity to look really pretty. So
I'm on board. It's actually a good training tool to learn how to do moves where you have to really exaggerate your body and do way more than the minimum necessary to achieve the catch.
So like, Ray's Lacer, listening, we're doing Lacer training the next time we're together.
That's a great example. Like, Ray's Lacer is the minimum movement and effort required to catch it. But if you look at how Matt Gauthier did it, he's jumping 10 times higher than he needs to and arcing in a really exaggerated way to perform a relatively straightforward catch. But that's what makes the catch work.
Cool. Okay, here's the next one. So this is in co-op. Someone gets the disc clock through an under the leg pull and immediately shoots it long way into your spinning flawed.
They shoot it. So they went basically from the pull under the leg, they shoot it straight out into my spinning
across,
flawed.
Like crosswind shoot.
And it's co-op. And the person participating in this co-op with me is one of you or Daniel.
I'm going to give you one more hint. It's the last catch of the routine.
It's me, you, and Dan Urinell in 2011.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Really?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's
that incredible. Impressed you, right? That yeah. Impressed you. Oh, man. That I wasn't sure about that one. I was saying that one a little bit uncertainly, but that sounded right to me. So that's 14 years ago.
Yep.
Ooh, oh, man. I feel like I just narrowly escaped one.
There was... That reminded me of this other moment when you were taking the bar and there was this moment where you were unsure of some question. You remembered one day you like walked into class and they talked about this one specific thing that had no idea what the word meant. And you like wrote that down on your bar exam. Do you remember that? Telling me that story?
Okay, but here's the irony. No. Like, so many things in my life I do not remember at all. I've been talking a lot with my college friend because he's a big movie buff and I've been talking with him a lot about the movies we watch. And he keeps texting me things like, you know, I think a lot about when you said X, Y, and Z. And I'll be like, I said that? I don't remember that at all. Like, that sounds super helpful.
Another example that happened recently, right? Because you asked me who I was playing with in open pairs this year at Toronto. And I said, yeah. Ray. And you're like... Your reaction was, oh, that's cool that Ray found such a good partner. How did that happen? And I told you that you set us up. You brokered the deal.
I mean, my memory has its pluses and minuses. So I guess I can remember the really useless thing of the final co-op in 2011, but I can't remember these other things. I mean, I wonder, though, if there really is. I mean, both examples of you saying I had good memory are from a process that involves dedicating yourself to imprinting something in your brain. So, I mean, co-ops, we spend so much time building and like trying to make sure that we remember them for worlds. I mean, at the same time, I think if we were sitting in the Spin Factory right now and you said, let's do our 2018 routine, I would barely even know where to start. But when you say something about it, it sort of triggers my memory of what happened.
I guess that makes sense. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So I'm giving you way more context than it seems.
Yeah, I mean, get do a couple more and I'll try to explain what it is that makes me remember what it's from.
Okay, we'll do one more. So this is the last one.
Okay.
Okay, it's a co-op. I'm going to actually start a little farther back.
So you're watching these.
I'm watching this. I can't remember the co-op and describe it in this amount of detail.
Yeah.
Okay, so the someone gets the disc clock flat. They roll it to you and you immediately roll it to the third person. During that time, the someone gets another disc, rolls it to you.
I already know what it is. You roll keep it going.
To the third person.
Paul Kenny, me and Daniel, 2014 routine.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, that solid. One's an easy one. That one, well, that was a really hard co-op. That is one of the co-ops I'm most proud of. It's so simple in concept. It's basically a roll down the line with the second disc rolling right after, but it's so hard to do. I bet you we would have more luck with it now, although we tried a version of it, I think, in 2019, because we're way better than we were back then. But something about having two discs rolling as part of the same three-person line at the same time was so hard to do.
It worked on this one. I was wondering if you were going to get confused with our 2013 version of that. Do you remember that one? Like I did. I had to do the two rolls on that one.
Well, it's funny because when you first said like the disc starts flat and someone rolls it to you, I went back to the 2013 routine with you. But once you said a second disc starts rolling, I knew what you were going for. But that was interesting. That was super fun for me. I hope it's interesting to the people. Yeah. But you remind me, I'm saying this because I think it's an embarrassing fact about myself, but I watched a show recently that had a, you know, sort of police interrogation scene in it. And I always think like, I would love that. Like, I would love to be interrogated because I think there's something about me, and I'm not proud of this, that just loves doing well on like a test. You know, it's like this person is paying attention and asking me questions and I get to try to decipher this puzzle. It just satisfies this base instinct from school that I don't really have that anymore. You know, no one's ever really quizzing me on things these days, except sometimes at work, but that was highly satisfying.
Cool. I'm glad it was enjoyable for you. I didn't know how it was going to go. We're testing things out for filler episodes. If you're listening to this and you have an opinion, send us feedback, please.
Yeah, this is an example of like, because there aren't enough people doing this and we don't have enough body of knowledge about how the freestyle community works or how freestyles work, I have no idea if what I just did was super average, below average, or above average. I know in basketball, they talk about how you can go up to LeBron James and be like, do you remember in game 42 against so-and-so when this happened? And he can just tell you exactly what happened and has this like encyclopedic memory of it. I have no idea if freestylers would have the same thing. I don't feel like I have that level because I couldn't just tell you front to back what a routine was from even a couple years ago. But I do think if you describe to me a routine I was part of, even if it's some random round from a long time ago, I would remember the beats of it and what happened.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, I think the way this worked, it like was, yeah, like if you were to describe what happened, like I would remember a lot less than like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like the smell, I like describe the smell of a place and then you told me where it was instead of like describing like aspects of the place, like I feel like that's what we did this time.
I think that's part of it for me. I mean, when you said the flawed catch, that was probably the hardest one for the 2011 routine. I remember the feeling of my body catching that and I kind of like rolling out of it or something. I just like remember the feeling of it. And that's why that stuck out to me. What would be really hard, but obviously less interesting, is if you picked the most nondescript. I mean, yeah. That one was pretty nondescript, but it was the last catch of a routine. But if it's just sort of like the super lame filler one. But yeah, it was interesting. And actually, like, it's raising a lot of questions for me. I would have worried that too many things are so generic that they happen too much to be able to really distinguish them. It's so easy to do something different. It's kind of how we talked about what percentage of combos you do in a jam are brand new.
Yep.
And it's probably like a surprisingly high percentage.
Because like a deck of cards being shuffled.
Exactly. There's just so many iterations so quickly, but whatever. It's another topic for another day.
Cool. All right. I think we're good, right? Email us at clockercounter@gmail.com. We love to hear feedback and yeah, we'll see you next time.
See you next time.